it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. Big update from Fabrizio Romano around Matheus Fernandes. Also, updates coming in from, I think, The Guardian around Somerville. We've also got Lewis Hall, Alex Scott to talk about as well, and a few other bits. But look, how are we all feeling this morning? I just want to do something that's not news-related and say I've watched Elliot Anderson a lot this season. I watched him playing for England yesterday, and whilst England weren't that great, I still don't understand why United are walking away from that deal just because of 20 million quid. I actually think he's, you know, in the quest to rebuild our midfield and replace Casemiro, I think he and Tonali stand clear of anything else you could do in this market. And I think it's a crying shame that you've got two players that are actually looking to leave Newcastle and Forest, who would be perfect for our midfield as we look to progress this football club and back Michael Carrick and give him a chance. And we're just not doing it. And I think that's really important. No hyperbole, no, you know, overreaction about a transfer window, because I do read those United fans saying, why is everybody getting stressed? It's so early in the window. There's lots to do. It's not about being stressed or frustrated. It's about backing your own football opinion for however many years you've watched the game, how many times you watch Man United, and having your own judgment, like we all do, to go, I think United need this to go to here. And I think United should get Anderson or Tonali to go to the next level. And the fact that we're ignoring it, I can deal with the fact if they don't want to leave Newcastle and Forest and you can't get them. But the fact that they're gettable and we're not going for them, I think for me is, as I say, I think it's a crying shame, a lack of ambition. And I'm not allowing the excuse of, we don't want to pay the money. We're a bloody football club. We should be paying the money. We've paid what it takes in the past to get people like Rooney. We should be paying what it takes to get people like Anderson or Tonali, in my opinion. Anyway, we have got a little bit of a poll going on at the moment. Should United pay 80 million for Fernandes? It's pay or walk away. It's our little it's our new little quiz. It's pay or walk away with me or Mark, with me, Mark Goldbridge. So should Manchester United pay the 80 to 85 million pounds to get Matheus Fernandes, or should they walk away? 62% of you at the moment are saying pay. 38% of you are saying walk away. I'm saying if we're going to overpay for Matheus Fernandes, why the bloody hell are we not overpaying for Tonali or Anderson, as per my previous point? But look, there is a big Fabrizio Romano update to come that's come in overnight. Obviously, the World Cup's going on. So football is literally the sport that doesn't sleep at the moment, because so many journalists are out there on the other side of the world. They're writing articles at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning. So we are getting a lot of information. What I would just say about Fernandes before I give you this update from Romano, because we are in a bidding war. We're in a bidding war, which is the last place Man United want to be. Man United do not want to be in a bidding war. So that's where we are at the moment. What I would say, though, is, and I'm sure you intelligent people have all figured this one out, I think 80 million is the new 50 million. And 120 million is the new 100 million. That's how I'm working now, because there is no way to me that Alex Scott or Matheus Fernandes are worth 70 to 80 million pounds. They're 50 to 60. Everybody's price has gone up by 20 million, hasn't it, really? Elliot Anderson should be about 100. He's going to be about 120. Matheus Fernandes should be around 55. He's going to be around 75, 80. So, look, I think we don't dictate how that works. But it is, without question, what's happening in the window at the moment. So there's an update just coming in from about Tchouaméni as well, from the Athletic's Spanish reporter as well, Mario Cortana, Real Madrid writer for the Athletic YouTube channel as well. Real Madrid would consider offers for Tchouaméni. He could be of interest to Manchester United. Well, look, that I'm just breaking the Fernandes story to go to this for a moment. there's a lot of regurgitation in the transfer world at the moment. I saw an article last night while I was doing the England game. I think it was in The Guardian talking about Mateus Fernandes, and I read it. And whilst it was a new update from that outlet, it's a similar update what we've had for 2 weeks. So look, it's nice that this Real Madrid Athletic correspondent is saying that Real Madrid would consider offers for Tchouaméni. But we know that. And he is a very credible journalist when it comes to Real Madrid. But we do know that. Like, we know United have held preliminary talks with Tchouaméni's agents back in March. So we know Real Madrid are open to doing a deal. And we know that if Real Madrid want to do a deal, Tchouaméni is open to coming to Man United. The same question will be asked again as what we're going to update you on Mateus Fernandes. The viability of a Tchouaméni deal, for me, as I said to you a month ago, makes this deal technically 50-50. I'm 50-50 on it'll happen or it won't happen. I don't know how you put that on a hotometer, but I am 50-50 on it. And I have been for a while because of the information we know. He's open to coming to United and Real Madrid are open to selling to Manchester United. The problem's going to be this data-driven story that we won't overpay and we won't overpay on wages. So Tchouaméni may be open to coming to Man United for 250 grand a week. Real Madrid may be open to selling to Manchester United for £80 million. We won't do either of those things. We won't pay 80 and we won't give 250 grand a week. So look, many clubs are open to selling players to Man United, but we've got to open the checkbook to pay it. And Mateus Fernandes is open to coming to Manchester United and has been for weeks. We didn't put the bid in and now other people have gone in. We're our own worst enemy. So yeah, Tchouaméni could come to Man United, but so could Fernandes. If we don't write the checks, we don't get the players. So we're our own worst enemy at the moment because all these deals... Elliot, you could say Elliot Anderson is open to coming to Manchester United, or you could say Bournemouth are open to doing a deal with Man United. But if we don't write the checks, we don't get the deals. It's as simple as that. But look, let's go through what we want to talk about here. Obviously, I can come back to Tchouaméni. There's a few other things to talk about. Lewis Hall, Alex Scott. But I want to give the update from Fabrizio Romano because this has basically come in the last few hours. Effectively, what Fabrizio is saying is that anybody that's been saying a deal is done or close is wrong. Over the last few weeks, and we know certain people have been doing that. It's not close. He's basically said there's a bidding war, and that's what West Ham want. And West Ham don't care who they sell to as long as they get the best price for West Ham. So West Ham will sell to the highest bidder. They don't care if it's Man United, Tottenham, Real Madrid, Dagenham and Redbridge. They don't care. They will sell to the highest bidder because they do know that they need to sell and they do know that they're in the Championship. So West Ham have made it very clear that they will sell to the highest bidder, and they've made that very clear to any club that they've spoken to and Mateus Fernandes and his agent. So West Ham ain't messing about. They're not interested in what the player wants or what the agent wants. They can present the offers and they can come to West Ham and say, look, I want to go here because of Champions League football. But West Ham will say that offer isn't as good as another club's offer. So what are we going to do? So West Ham are just going to push the highest bidder. Of course, the player does have an involvement in this and he may push for Man United because of Champions League football over Spurs, who don't have it. But ultimately, it will come down to West Ham and what they want to accept. So it could run and run and run. Fabrizio is basically saying that Mateus Fernandes has opened the door to Man United and Tottenham, and now it's up to the clubs to come back forward with the best financial proposal. He's ending up at the club bringing the best financial proposal to West Ham. This is what Fabrizio Romano said. Clear feeling on the Mateus Fernandes deal. As reported, he's ending up at the club bringing the best financial proposal to West Ham. He's opened the doors to both Man United and then Tottenham. Now it's up to the clubs. So look, it's not on the face of it, and it could change. What will happen is if we get him, it will always get painted that he only ever wanted United. So don't for 1 minute think that if we get him, that won't happen. But we haven't got him yet. So at the moment, there is this bidding war. There is this competition for a player. And you know, you look at Sesko last year, not dissimilar, we won. So I would expect Man United to win this. But it does fly in the face of everything that we've supposedly said we're going to do. And look, 60% of you would pay the £80 million to get him. 40% of you wouldn't. I'd love to know why some of you would pay and why you wouldn't. Get in the comments and let us know. My stance is this. Is Matheus Fernandes my number one target for the midfield? No. Elliot Anderson was. Tonali was. Tchouaméni is. Bruno Fernandes was. So I had better options. Am I convinced that Matheus Fernandes is going to come into Manchester United and make an instant impact? No. No, I've seen him play for West Ham. I don't think he's going to come into Man United and hit the ground running. I think he's a player that's going to come into Manchester United and need time. And I don't know whether that's what this fan base needs. I think football fans can be very, very simple in the sense that you spend a lot of money on a player, they better deliver straight away. Well, I don't think he will deliver straight away. I think he will need time. So I'm not even convinced spending that amount of money on that type of player is the right thing to do. For me, he's a £55 million player who we might be bidding £20, £30 million more for. That puts immense pressure on the club and the player and the manager before he's even kicked a ball. So there are concerns with this deal from a personal point of view. However, that's me. I'm not sat on the board. I'd do something different. I have to assess what United are doing. And in that boardroom, Matheus Fernandes is the priority. So write the fucking check. And people will say, you're a hypocrite. That's not what you... No, I'm not on the board. If I was on the board, I wouldn't be pushing this deal. I'd be going, why are we looking to spend £80 million and compete with Spurs for Matheus Fernandes? I can think of four players I'd be going before I'd go for him. We're going for them. That's what I would do. But in reality, this board has spent weeks, apparently months, working on this deal. Get it done. Because the data will say he's the right player. And that's where I am with it. You know, we get told about we're following the data. You know, we're doing this, that and the other. Go and do the deal then. I don't mind Manchester United spending a little bit too much on a player that they think's the right player. Remember last summer, Mbeumo at £65 million was overpriced. Realistically, we should have been paying 55 or 60. We paid 65. Now, 5 million doesn't sound a lot, but it's still a 10% increase. So, and I remember saying at the time, if he's the player they want, pay the money to get the price, because I'd rather get plan A, 10, 15 million pounds more expensive, than get plan B for the right price. Get plan A. So I think that we've got to pay the price for Matheus Fernandes because we've made it very obvious that he's the right player. And it's going to be hard enough this season watching Elliot Anderson play for Man City, watching Diamande play for Liverpool, watching Tonali play wherever he's going to play, and then seeing Matheus Fernandes play for Spurs. I just don't want that season next season. I didn't want Michael Carrick to get the job, but now he's got the job. I'll back him, and I want the club to back him. And you're not backing him if you're not getting the players in that he needs. Too many Man United managers over the years, and we've all witnessed it, don't get their best options. And that needs to change. That needs to change. Also on Matheus Fernandes this morning, Jacob Steinberg, who has been right around some stuff with United for a while, certainly around the Ten Hag stuff, writes for The Guardian, also saying Tottenham pushing for Matheus Fernandes and are prepared to beat Man United on the finances. This, I think, is something I just wanted to add in as well. If Matheus Fernandes is willing to go to Spurs and Manchester United, and Spurs are willing to beat us on financials, then we got a problem, because we hate that. We absolutely hate that. Imagine a scenario. Well, we don't need to imagine a scenario. Man United don't like spending money. So when they're trying to get a player and then someone else comes along and says, Man United are going to bid 70, 75. Man United are going to bid 75, 80.
Man United are willing to go up to 80, 85. No hesitation. They'll just go boom, 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 boom. So I think it's going to get interesting. It's going to get very interesting on Matheus Fernandes. I still believe we'll get the deal done. And it's not based on pretending I've got a source on this and making, you know, writing tweets and pretending I know. It's just a hunch. I've always had a hunch that we'll get it over the line. But we'll have to wait and see. And I think that what I would acknowledge is that on Friday, I was taking the piss out of Spurs. I was saying, absolutely no way Matheus Fernandes goes to Spurs. No way. Has he got a relegation fetish? Does he want to get relegated 3 years in a row because he's been relegated with Southampton and West Ham? I took the piss out of it and...
What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm not going to apologise. It's not my fault that Manchester United are unambitious, but it appears, and I thought the update from Mike Keegan yesterday was fantastic about Spurs saying, look, in getting De Zerbi to take the job, De Zerbi has clearly said, I want this, this and this. And it's interesting because at Man United, our coaches are coaches. They're puppets. Spurs have clearly got a manager. And to get De Zerbi, he's clearly said, I'm only going to take the job if you do this, this, and this. And now they've got to go and do it, which is why they're ambitious. They have a manager with power. Whereas at Man United, that's not what we have. We have puppets who have to do what the board says. Anthony says, your hunch was Anderson. Yeah, mate, that's why I said it was a hunch. A hunch doesn't matter if I get it right or wrong. I'm not telling you it's from a source. If I tell you it's from our source and it's wrong, then, you know, by all means, moan and everything like that. A hunch is just a feeling. So what if I get it wrong? Doesn't matter. It's a hunch. It's just an opinion. Looks like we're in a bidding war. Wonder if we'll get it done, says John. Just catching up on some super chats, by the way. Then we'll talk about Lewis Hall. Please do share the video if you're watching, by the way. We've got over 7,000 watching. Thank you very much for getting involved this morning. If we had Spurs ambition, we'd run the league easy, says Matt Loves Football. I just want a club with ambition. I do. That's what I want. I just want a club with ambition. Thanks, Anthony. JMR says, we paid what it took because we were winning. We've not been successful for a decade now. We can't keep acting the way we used to when we are not winning. Well, did you see that update from Mike Keegan yesterday when he was on with Beth? And he said, basically, the club have changed course. For years, they were bowing to pressure of going out and spending big money on players and overpaying, and it didn't work. And now they're going to approach it in a different way. And I thought, this is the simpleton approach to running a football club. So you spent big money on Pogba and Sancho and Alexis Sanchez and Di Maria, and it didn't work. So now you're not going to do it anymore. So you went out when you were younger trying to find a wife or a husband. You went out with a few people. It didn't work out. So you've given up and you're going to stay at home and watch Netflix now and never try and meet someone. That's how stupid it is. So you met a few people. It didn't work out. So now you're not going to bother meeting anyone. It's the most stupid logic that almost self-deflects it onto the fans. Well, the fans were telling us to go and buy players, so we did, and it didn't work. So now we're not going to spend big money on anyone anymore. I tell you what, we weren't on the board then, and we're not on the board now. The fans didn't buy those players. You fucking did. We didn't tell you to go and buy Lukaku. We didn't go and tell you to go and buy Alexis Sanchez. We didn't go and tell you to go and buy Di Maria. You did it. We didn't tell you to buy Harry Maguire for £80 million and give him £200,000 a week. You did it. I'll tell you for free, though. Stopping spending money on good players is not going to make you good. Thinking that buying good players is going to make us bad is wrong. You fucked up because you paid stupid prices for stupid players and gave them stupid contracts and stupid wages. If you go out and buy good players and give them good wages, you will be successful. You just bought the wrong fucking players. You took £1 billion and you've put it on a bonfire. Richard Arnold was right when he said, I walked into Carrington, looked at how much we've been spending and went, where is it? Exactly right. We spent the money badly, but we need to spend money. You spend it on good players. If Erling Haaland said, I've got a Man United fetish, I'm going to cost £250 million and £500,000 a week, I'd think about paying it. Now, some of you go, no. I'd think about paying it because I'm getting a guaranteed goal machine for the next 5 years. I'll pay what it takes to get quality. The trouble is, we paid what it takes to get shit. And Antony stands clear for me as one of the worst deals we've ever bloody done. We gave him well over 150 grand a week and we gave Ajax £80 million. That's not the fans' fault. That's not the fans' fault. But I could spend that £80 million on Tonali and give him 250 grand a week and I'd be very happy to do that. Let's run it back, Mark, and have an old-fashioned, fast-talking auctioneer handle the bidding war. It would get really sorted really quickly, says Owen. Desiree says they walk away. The midfield will be Edison, Belaba, and bloody Aidan Hackney or Fletcher. Forget Chiumini, Fernandez, Scott. They won't overpay, says Desiree. I'll leave Fernandez here before we move on to Lewis Hall. If they walk away from this deal, I think I have no information on the Fernandez deal. I don't, right? But I think they have to pay. And in paying, they hypocrisize what they're all about. They're going to have to overpay. And what people are forgetting is, to get Matheus Fernandes, it's not just giving West Ham what they want. It's also giving the player and the agent what Spurs are offering as well. You're not just pleasing West Ham. Some people think we've just got to pay West Ham 80 million to get him. Matheus Fernandes will also have a contract at nearly 200 grand a week. We'll have to pay that as well. So we're going to have to pay twice here, which completely contradicts what we're apparently trying to do. But I think we've got to do it because walking away from it makes us look even worse. So I think United are in a difficult situation here, but they were always going to be in this difficult situation. It's probably long overdue because with Mbeumo, Le Mans, Yoro, Cunha, we've not been in this position where the player only wants us and there's no one else to deal with. In reality, football, you do have to compete. You do have to overpay to get what you want. And it's long overdue for United. We're now in this situation where we can't control the story. So we either walk away and get ridiculed, or we overpay and get the player that we want. Let's see which United choose to do. 60% of you say we should pay. 40% say we should walk away. Nat Johnston said, midfield is so important this season. We'll be playing two games a week. Pay the price for these players. We can't have Maynou, Edison on the weekend, then Ugarte and Mount during the week. Scary thought, isn't it? Amit says, Fernandez wants United. Why would West Ham sell him to Spurs? Because that's not the story, Amit. So you've just made that up. If he was adamantly wanting Manchester United, there would be no bidding war. I've seen enough. Get Strootman in, says Kexi. Why don't we use the 80 million for Chiumini, says David. And do you think United are waiting to see if City's 115 happens before they commit? Do they have inside information, says Sunin. I've seen this a few times, right? And I'm not taking the piss out of you, Sunin, because you are probably just reacting to story, right? If Manchester City and the Premier League don't know what's going to happen in that case, how the bloody hell do Man United have inside info that no one else has got and are waiting for the result? Nobody knows the result of that case. It won't leak. It will come out the second it comes out. It won't leak early. It'll just go boom. Even City have had their flops, but not many at all since Pep went in. This is due to best-in-class recruitment and scouting, says Tom McBride. Thank you very much. And midfield situation for United is the worst puzzle to solve, says Amit. I actually think it's a very easy puzzle to solve. I think you can build so many combinations. I was talking about Chelsea yesterday. They want to buy a midfielder, but they've got to sell Enzo Fernandez first. Even if they enter the midfield market late, there's still the likes of Stiller and Mecha, Manu Kone. You know, there's so many midfielders beyond what we're looking at. It really is a buyer's market. But the problem is, we need to get our plan A's and B's, certainly. I want to talk about Lewis Hall next because some conflicting stuff coming in around Lewis Hall. Certain people have been putting it out there that Lewis Hall was, you know, high on United's list and they're ready to pounce, this, that, and the other. The reality is, Mike Keegan yesterday on the show said there's bafflement at Man United as to why they've been linked to Lewis Hall, and nobody knows where it's actually come from. There was also an update from Chris Wheeler yesterday as well around this in the Daily Mail. And he said that Lewis Hall may have been mentioned as a potential target for Man United, but it's unlikely the club would have the money left over to do a deal of that magnitude this summer anyway. So a double kick in the nuts around Lewis Hall, really. One, people at United are baffled that we've been linked to him. And two, we wouldn't have the money to do a deal of that magnitude anyway. So I think in relation to Lewis Hall, as with many summers, really, it's just fantasy, isn't it? And we, you know, I'm not going to complain about it, really. I'll complain about the fact that we're not buying players of that quality, of course, but I'm not going to complain about the fact that this is just what happens. We're Manchester United and this is what happens. We have these types of deals where we get linked to somebody, we get very excited, and lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, we get told we're not going to do a deal like that. The question is, if I'll tell you what, the timing of that's almost 23 minutes in. What, hydration break? Hydration break on the United Stand is not sponsored by Powerade. It's sponsored by water, which you can get free in your taps, upstairs, downstairs, and sometimes out your showers. Or don't drink your water out your shower. Hydration break, sponsored by water on the United Stand. If you want, if there's a brand out there that wants to sponsor our hydration breaks, welcome. That's not tap water, actually. It is actually filtered water. I've got one of those taps where, I like the best. I've got one of those taps where you twist it and it goes blue and it's filtered water, or you double tap it down and it's boiling water coming out your tap. Can't remember what it's called. We're not sponsored by them, so I don't really care anyway. I actually do need a hydration break. Make sure you're hydrating today. Public service message from Mark Goldbridge to the world. It's hot out there. Keep hydrated. Basically, if you're going to the toilet and there's not much coming out and it looks like treacle, you're dehydrated. It should be coming out like a clear, ideally, but light and plentiful. Water's not free, says Daz. Oh, here we go. All right, mate. Nothing's free. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Let's carry on with Lewis Hall. It's not a great update. Somerville coming up next. It's not a great update around Lewis Hall. I think it's a reality bite. And I think that as United fans over the years, we're more than aware of this happening. We get linked to players. We get overexcited. We take up, you know, we have ambitions higher than that of the club. And we start thinking that, you know, Lewis Hall at left back, Ederson, Fernandez and Tchouaméni in the midfield, and, you know, someone like a Brobbey up front or a Yann Diamandé on the wing would be a reasonable transfer window. And I think you're right, but not at this club. I mean, it's almost like, I don't even think as fans we're greedy. I don't even think we're going Nuno Mendes at left back, Vinicius Junior on the left wing, Harry Kane as a striker. We don't even do that. We just go Lewis Hall at left back, Diamandé on the left wing, maybe a Brian Brobbey up front, reasonable midfield. Even that's a pipe dream. Solid Blake says, please fondle that like button. I've never heard it described like that, but please do hit the like button. It sounds like in the last 24 hours from Chris Wheeler and Mike Keegan separately, the Lewis Hall deal has died, which is frustrating because Luke Shaw, I know a lot of people rate Luke Shaw, Ricky. I don't think he had a very good season last year. I think people confuse availability with ability. I also don't think he's going to get any better at 30. And I also don't think he's going to be able to deal with, Luke Shaw, watching the World Cup last night, was probably getting more excited about Ghana than any other team he's watched, because they don't go past the halfway line either. But no, we definitely need a left back. So if it's not going to be Lewis Hall, what plan C, D, F, G are we going to go for now? I don't know. And that's what I was thinking about this morning when I was, you know, reading about the Lewis Hall stuff being too expensive. And that word seems to be coming, those two words seem to be entering the vocabulary a lot as well, too expensive, which I don't understand, by the way. I don't understand how Spurs can be, we'll pay what it takes, and they're not in the Champions League, and United, who are in the Champions League, can go, we're tightening our belts. So, yeah. What about Truffert, says Gabriel? I've not heard anything about Truffert and Bournemouth. I mean, I would buy him, but I've not heard anything about him, and therefore, I presume he's staying at Bournemouth. We were linked to Nathaniel Brown at Frankfurt, but he's going to Bayern. So I don't know. I mean, knowing United, it'll be another West Ham player. We'll go and get bloody Diouf as well as Somerville and Fernandes, which, you know, would make me laugh, but maybe that's what they could look at. But I do like Truffert. I think he's a decent player. Where do you rate Tchouaméni to Anderson and Tonali, says Vib? I think for me, I'd be happy with any of them because they are the level of midfielder that Man United need to go for. So I'd be happy with any of them. However,
excuse me, I'm yawning a lot.
This is the hangover of watching England last night. Every time I think about it, it makes me yawn. I think for me still, it's between Tonali and Anderson if I had to pick between the three. And Tchouaméni would be number three. But I'd be very happy with him, yeah. Andy Atherton says, I think United will sign Belaba and claim they've pulled off an amazing signing, getting him for 70 million when Brighton wanted £100 million a year ago. I'd have to be very careful if we signed Belaba because I just don't believe in writing a signing off before they've kicked a ball. But I think that would be an incredibly shit deal. And as somebody said last night, they'd really have to sell it as trusting their data. But where they're getting their data from, they must not have renewed the subscription for last season because they'll be using data from the season before last. I'm very calm this morning, but I find it wild that United think Belaba is the solution to their midfield when he was crap in his most recent season, and there's no evidence to suggest that he can come into Man United and replace Casemiro. I think it would be wild to use a player like that, to be honest with you, who is an absolute punt and expensive at that as well. The data wasn't very good last season, Joey. No, it wasn't. So you're wrong. And if you want to present your data, I off the top of my head, I know because I've looked at it, he averages closest to 30 passes per game when most midfielders we're looking at are doing 50. His defensive stats are no better than most of the midfielders that we're looking at as well. He's not progressive with the ball. And for the eye test, well, it was hard to do the eye test with Belaba actually because he spent most of the season sat on the bench or being subbed off early. So, yeah. Season before the stats were okay, mate, but you're going to go on a season before? Surely you go on the season where we tried to buy him and he's on trial and he fucks it up. But look, if you want to sign him, it's up to you. My midfield situation for United is, I've done that one from Amit as well. Okay, let me move on and talk about Somerville now. So this was also from Jacob Steinberg in The Guardian. Tottenham are now one of the clubs considering a move for Somerville as well. United and Chelsea are tracking the player. I've seen a few people sort of changing their minds on Somerville, which is it's the predictability of a football fan in the transfer window. You want plan A, you want plan B, you want plan C. And then when you're down to plan D, you will get fans who go, actually, I think they're good. You know what? Despite what I did say before, I actually think they're good. And it's almost like a syndrome of some point where your first reaction is the right reaction, but you almost become bamboozled and convinced by something that you never would have considered doing. And I think with Somerville, that's what's happening now. It's not a name that Man United fans would have been really thinking about. But now it's like, well, it's better than nothing. And now, suddenly, you know, he's the next big thing. And I genuinely just think it's a mediocre signing with a lack of ambition from a club that we're already in discussions with. And traditionally, I think Somerville probably is a Tottenham player. I certainly don't think he's a player that's going to come into Manchester United and set the world on fire. I don't think he's consistent enough. He scored a good goal in the World Cup. Maybe that helps people. But I just think this. I mean, look, if we were signing Nusa from Leipzig, I'd be very, very excited. If we were signing Diamande from Leipzig, I'd be very excited. But I just think this is a bit of a mid-signing. And we've made two. I mean, look, United say they don't want to spend big money anymore because they've made mistakes. We've also made mistakes buying mid-signings. Xerxes, Ugarte, you know, how many more players have we bought like Somerville where it hasn't worked? These mid-signings, I mean, is that a conversation that we need to have? Because apparently we don't want to spend over £80 million on players anymore. So we clearly want to keep buying players around the 40, 50, 60 mark. But Yoro at 50 million isn't working at the moment. Ugarte, 60 million, isn't working at the moment. Xerxes, 35 million, isn't working at the moment. Anana, 50 million, didn't work. Donny van der Beek, 40 million, didn't work. So it's not, this is what I mean. I think sometimes you get the headlines of, we don't want to spend lots of money on players anymore because it didn't work. Yeah, but the cheaper players don't work as well. Yeah. Would you prefer Ndiaye over Somerville? Yes. I do think he's better, but he'd be more expensive. So, look, I'd rather United told the truth. We know Somerville is plan E, but he's cheap because he's been relegated. I can deal with that. I can moan about the lack of ambition and the lack of money, but I can deal with that. It's when we polish a turd and try and retell a story. Are we going for Somerville because it's the only midfielder that we can get that's half decent in the budget that we've got? If that's the case, fine. Because Ndiaye is going to cost you 60, 70 million pounds and Somerville is going to cost you 40 to 50. So if that's the reason, financials, I can deal with it. Don't try and dress it up as the dream target, though, because he's definitely plan D, E and F. And I don't think I'm wrong to say that we shouldn't be signing Michael Carrick options plan D, E and F, because we've been doing that for previous managers and it doesn't work. And I also think the enormity of the job that Michael Carrick's got should not be lost on anybody. It is an enormous job that he has. Absolutely enormous. And, you know, Michael Carrick's experience is, you know, an okay tenure at Middlesbrough and some very good two very good interim periods at Man United. It's not a rich tapestry of high-end coaching. So give him some high-end players. But look, we could be walking into God knows what next season. And I think we all knew that next season was going to be very difficult. And therefore, we needed to have a very good summer transfer window. And at the moment, we can still have a good summer transfer window. Does it stand and fall over what happens with Matheus Fernandes? We're in a bidding war, if you've tuned in late. Fabrizio Romano's confirmed that. West Ham are only interested in selling to the highest bidder and they don't care who it is. And Fernandes is apparently open to going to Spurs as much as Man United, and he's basically saying it's up to the clubs. I mean, if Fernandes is saying, look, if you want me, bid for me, then United have got to go and bid, haven't they? Gamer King of Con- what do you have? Sorry, I won't ignore this. Somebody said, what do you think is going to happen with Fernandes? Well, as I said, my hunch is that we will get him. I think the more pertinent question is, when do I think it will happen with Fernandes? On the one hand, I think if Spurs are genuinely interested, they could drop a bid and it moves really quickly. On the other hand, I think Spurs may be more focused on Tonali, and therefore it could still run and run for a bit of time. I think it speeds up on who puts the bid in, really. We're a week away from July the 1st. It's the 24th of June today, so we're a week away from July the 1st. That could have an impact. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a bid pre-June the 30th based on financial footballing financial year and what suits West Ham. I just wonder whether somebody might drop a bid before June the 30th and see and test West Ham's resolve. But realistically, if I was Spurs, I'd drop a bid now that I know United aren't comfortable with. I'd drop a first bid at 75 and see what Man United do. And let me be honest, £75 million for Matheus Fernandes is fucking ridiculous. I mean, I remember last summer, Sesko for £67 million thinking, it's a lot, but let's do it. 75 for Matheus Fernandes from West Ham? It is ridiculous money. But as I said, £75 million is the new £50 million, isn't it? Everybody's price has gone up by about £20 million. Rory says, why are Spurs not bidding if they're willing to pay? Well, there'll be a reason for that. They'll be playing their own game. There's many midfielder, Gamer King of Kings says, there's many mid-shelf midfielder options out there, so I'll focus all efforts on signing the only viable option for our number one signing, Tchouaméni. And It's Nagay says, it's only cheap signing I've seen work is Cherky for £35 million. Thank you very much. Well, Le Mans was cheap, to be fair, from a United point of view. Calvin says, the problem is everybody is overpriced. Yes, and I think that I've seen a few people say be sympathetic to United when it comes to that, saying, you know, it's overpriced. But is that not the job of a CEO or a director of football or an analyst or data dean to know that? I mean, I don't know that it's an excuse to walk into a window saying, well, we had all these plans, but other people want them and the prices have gone up. I mean, a quick summary of the last five transfer windows, including January, would give you a very clear insight of the possibility that bidding wars could happen and prices could inflate. And as part of the 12-month preparation for this huge summer transfer window, I would have expected somebody might have said, we might want to get a couple of deals tied up early because the longer we wait, inflation could knock those prices up by 10, 20, 30%. And United are very business-focused as well. I can't believe that we've not seen this coming, that prices could get inflated this window, especially when we all knew Elliot Anderson was going to go. And we all knew that Elliot Anderson would go for over £100 million. So it was natural that your Bournemouths and your West Hams and your Brightons, if they sell their midfielders, are going to go, well, if Elliot Anderson's 110, we want 75. So, yeah, we maybe should have lined a few things up pre that. Just on Alex Scott, you're quite right. Somebody said, what's the latest on Alex Scott? Few things coming out this morning, I think probably post what we were talking about with Mike Keegan yesterday. And also, to be fair, a number of other journalists repetitively do use Alex Scott as an option for Man United this summer. The situation with Alex Scott is that he's on holiday. He was part of the England preparations for the World Cup because he was on standby. So he only actually left that camp about a week and a half ago. So he is on holiday. Bournemouth want him to sign a new contract with a release clause, and they were quite confident of that happening. The feeling is that he wants to assess his options because he missed out on the World Cup. And you know, Bournemouth next season without Iriola may not be the force they were before. So staying at Bournemouth may not be the best thing for his England career or his career. So Scott wants to assess his options before signing a new contract with Bournemouth. One of those options could be Man United. One of those options could be Liverpool. One of those options could be Arsenal. So I would say with Alex Scott, good player, but would you trust or get excited about Man United monitoring the situation? We monitored the Elliot Anderson situation for 9 months and just kept watching. Yeah?
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Well, like those idiots that film things on their phone where someone's getting beat up or something and just keep filming it and don't help. Yes, but I'm filming the evidence. No, you're not. You're doing it for your socials. Yeah, we're just monitoring Scott at the moment. So I won't believe it's moving towards anything until we move it towards anything, if that makes sense. But yeah, and also we're not capable of working on more than one deal at a time. So I think that it will be another reason why we're not moving forward on a Scott or a Chumini at the moment. But look, let's see what happens. Saw a tweet from Terry there saying, I feel we should walk away. I rate the player, but 80 million is too much. Fair play to West Ham. They've got their bidding war. And look, in fairness to Terry and some of you lot, you will say walk away, but what are you going to walk away? What are you walking away to? That's what I want to know. You know, if it's my birthday and I'm going out and I'm being told we're going to this restaurant that I really like, and we get there and it's busy, and the restaurant manager says, we can give you a table in an hour, but our prices have gone up by 10% because we're so busy. Do you go and find another restaurant? You probably do. But I'm like, where are we going then? Because I was really looking forward to eating at that restaurant. You know, and if we're going to McDonald's, you can shove it up your ass. It tastes like cardboard. So actually, I like a McDonald's. I like a Big Mac. My palate's not as great as it used to be with things like McDonald's, but yeah, give me an Italian restaurant any day of the week. Look, we can walk away from the Matheus Fernandes deal, but if we walk away from the Matheus Fernandes deal, the only other thing that's growing at Man United is our calf muscles from walking away, because we've walked away from Anderson, Diamande, Tonali, Fernandes, Lewis Hall. Can't keep walking away. You can't keep walking away from confrontation, can you? If we want to win, we've got to win these battles. You know? It is a little bit like, if you ever think about, I used to love these games on the Amiga and stuff, Civilization and everything like that, where you start off with your own sort of army and, you're trying to grow the land that you rule. And you sometimes go into an area and you'll see an army that's much bigger than yours, so you can't battle them. And but if you keep walking away from battles, they're going to keep getting bigger, and eventually they're just going to find you and beat you. Like, we can't just keep walking away all the time. I think that's my stance. We're going to end up with shit. And if we walk away from Matheus Fernandes, where do we go next? Alex Scott? Sounds like there'll be a bidding war there. And then all roads lead to Belabor, because that's the only player that we can get. So look, I'm not saying it's wrong to walk away, but walk away where? We've already walked away too many times, in my opinion. That's where I'm at with it at the moment. I do believe we can still get Matheus Fernandes, and I do believe we can still get Chumini. Because I think Real Madrid at some point are going to have to find a way to create some money. Sorry, has anyone noticed as well, if 80 million pounds is the new 50, there is a real growing thing on X of fake quotes. You see them on your timeline. You have to double check. Morning, Mark. What do you think about our budget? What do you think our budget is for the summer? Says Fiona. Is it Fiona? Fiona. Maybe it isn't. I don't know what the budget is. It doesn't sound like we've got enough money for three midfielders and a left back, let alone a winger. So I don't think the budget's that great, but we'll have to wait and see. The issue is we're desperate. This is the market for Premier League proven players. If we want any of them, start expecting an extra 20 million plus for deals. And it will just go up as well, mate. You can't walk away from Matheus Fernandes because it's too expensive and go to Bournemouth and go, yeah, well, you can have Alex Scott for 55. They'll go, we want 75 as well. If you go to Brighton for Belabor, they'll want 70. So you can walk away, but you just walk into the same conversation. We walked away from Anderson and Tonali because they're too expensive, to go for Matheus Fernandes, who's now too expensive. So I think you can keep walking away, but you're just going to keep being presented by the same problem. Everybody's overpriced. We might be able to get McTominay back for 120, says Robert. And why is Spurs linked with a United linked player? Because they're ambitious, Raj? Yeah, I think that might be it. There we go. But yeah, I think that may be the case. Right, great show this morning. Thank you so much. The rest of the week, this feels like the longest week ever and I can't figure it out why. Maybe it's the weather, I don't know. I can't believe it's only Wednesday morning. But if you haven't seen the Mike Keegan interview, I would suggest you watch that. The feedback's been so good. It was such a good interview with him and Beth. We have got, we had Simon Stone on last Friday. We've got Ben Jacobs on Thursday. It's a 7 o'clock show. That's what I wanted to say. 7 o'clock on the United Stand tonight because we're doing the World Cup at 8. And talking of Scott McTominay, it's Brazil against Scotland tonight at 11 p.m. I'll be doing that as well. So 8 and 11 are our World Cup watch-alongs tonight. So we'll be on at 7 o'clock here. We've got a 2 o'clock show as well. Look, let's see what today brings. I feel like we're on the edge of some update coming in around Fernandez. I feel like, you know, something's got to give soon, certainly. But let's see. We'll be ready to react when it happens because, I you know what? We've had some good information around Tchouaméni. And, you know, if United are willing to pay, we can do that deal. And I've known that and I've told you about that. Never had any information about Fernandez, and I'm bloody glad we didn't because I would not want to be some of those people with their information who've been basically lied to because this deal is not close. This deal is not a one-horse race, and I don't think United are relaxed at all anymore. I don't think they're relaxed at all. You cannot be relaxed about this situation where another club, if they beat you, are going to embarrass you, but they also are willing to pay more money than you. And if you walk away, you're going to look ridiculous. So United will be very far from relaxed at the moment. And I don't know whether anybody takes any comfort in that, but they will not be relaxed now. They'll be like, if we get him, we're going to overpay, which we don't want to do. And if we walk away, we're going to look stupid. And if we lose to Spurs, we're going to look even more stupid. So whatever the outcome now, it won't be the outcome that United wanted. They're not going to get him cheap. They're not going to get him on cheap wages, or they're going to miss out. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. 58% of you would pay and 42% of you would walk away from Matheus Fernandes at 75 million. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Great show today. Thank you very much for watching. Take care.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.